Yod Ear, 25th of April, Rabbi Yaakov Rabin, Kibudav, even if I lose my job.
Good morning, Rabbi Yisai.
Good morning.
Baruch Hashem, today we don't only have a great shiur to give you, you even end off with a lovely rhyme as well. Kibudav, do I have to lose my job? Well, more or less. So I guess you're probably thinking when you see the topic that it all depends on the Gemara and Kiddushin. There's a famous Gemara and Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Beis which discusses upon whom is the expense of Kibrav. There's a machlekes. Kibrav Mishel Ab, is it upon the father to pay for the expenses? Or Mishel Ben, or is it upon the son to pay for the expenses? And obviously, of course, if it's upon the son, so then he might have to incur any financial repercussions to do the mitzvah of kibud av. But even if we were to say shel av lemais, it's upon the father. Let me ask you a question. Imagine you have a yid who's single-handedly running a shop, and he's there all day from basically 9 a.m. till 5. And where he lives, Nacht comes in at about 4:50. So when and how will he possibly daven mincha? So, unless he's an Amshon of a Chassid, who has his own wonderful system of timing, would anybody imagine saying that his business gives him a patur from davening mincha? Obviously not. Surely to fulfill the mitzvah, he needs to mevatel malachtoi for a few minutes, put a sign on the door saying back in 10 minutes, and the same would go for any mitzvah l'chora. Shaking a lulav, if he didn't have a lulav all day, and suddenly a lulav came right before Shkia, would he have to, you couldn't just say, well, I'm in the middle of working now. So, lemaisa, to do any mitzvah, we would understand, it's natural, one would have to take off from work, even if you say, kibud av, mishel av, even if it's on the father. Nonetheless, a person has to fulfill Hashem's mitzvahs. So, l'chor, would kibud av, the aim be any different? I would understand that it's straightforward and pashut, and the Gemara does say this, that one does need to take off from work, but we'll discuss soon the idea of employees, the idea of perhaps risking getting fired, chas v'shalom, in the event that if one were to take off, he might risk that. Now, lemaisa, I want to bring you down an interesting tesis in Kedushin on Daf Lamed Beis, the Dibur HaMaskel Rav Yehuda. I'm going to translate that into modern-day society. Imagine you have a yid from London who goes on holiday to Eretz Yisrael with his family, with his children, wife, children, and even his parents as well. And on their way back to the hotel in Yerushalayim, so on the night before he travels the following morning, they decide that they're going to go out to Kever Rashbi. They're going to go to Meron and daven by the Kever of the Rashbi. So they go ahead, they do it, lovely tefillah, and on the way back, they're already almost about an hour of the way back home, suddenly the yid realizes, oi, I can't find my phone. His mobile phone has disappeared. And his father as well seems to have lost his mobile phone. So they realized that they had stickers with their name and email and local number on the back of the phone. But they decide, let's run back and maybe we'll find it. Yeah? So they go back to Meron. And when they get there, they're looking around, almost about to give up hope. And then they see right by the corner of the kever, they see a phone that looks just like the father's phone, the son's phone, I should say. And the son goes over, picks it up, hoping he found his phone, and he says, "Ay, it's not his phone. It's somebody else's phone, who also has a sticker on it, identifying who he is and how to contact him if it gets lost." So he takes the phone home, he calls on the way, and lemaisa, it belongs to a yid who lives in Kiryat Sefer. On the other hand, when they get back to the hotel in Yerushalayim, so they check the emails and they see that nonetheless both phones, the son and the father's phone, were found. And the son's phone, where was that found? By somebody who's staying in Beit Shemesh, who lives in Beit Shemesh. And the father's phone was found by another person who lives in Bnei Brak, who was there that day. Now, lemaisa, what we have on our hands is three avedas to deal with, and since the people, incidentally, who found the phones were unable to come out and meet them, lemaisa, they asked that they come and pick up the phones. There's only time now before getting to the airport to get back one phone. Oh, wow. Whose phone takes preference? Does he have to go for his own phone, Lamaisa to Beit Shemesh? Is he mechuyev to go and do Hashavas Aveda and get his father's phone in Bnei Brak? Or maybe he actually has a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda for the phone that he himself found belonging to a Yid in Kiryat Sefer.
That's going to be the last one, is the returning Shavim.
Well, Lamaisa, his phone is considered an Aveda as well, and his father's an Aveda.
The return phone, but it's the one he found, that's going to be the last on the list.
Oh, well, we'll see how Tosfos analyzes it. I'll tell you how Tosfos looks at it. So Tosfos basically explains that Lamaisa, regarding his own phone versus his father's phone, he said, according to the mandamer, the kibbutz Mishel Ben, so he should drive to Bnei Brak, and he should go and get his father's phone back, straightforward, and even risk losing his own phone, which he probably won't be able to get. That's one comparison. But, we say his father, what about his father's phone versus the stranger's phone? So, the one that he found in Kiryat Sefer.
His father's are two mitzvahs, actually, kibbutz and Hashem's Aveda.
Oh, could be. Not sure if the minyan of mitzvahs is going to be kveveya necessarily in this case. Tosfos says a little bit different svara. Tosfos says here, he brings a gemara in Bava Metzia on Lamed Beis, a beferish gemara which says that if a father tells his son not to be misasik in helping other people and to only help him, the son is mechuyev to not listen and to help another person, another yid. So, Lachura, for that cheshbon, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says he'd have to go and return the stranger's phone that he found. So now, if you go by the stranger's phone, so it's the stranger's phone versus his own phone. And for this, he brings the Pasuk Tosfos from Devarim Tesvav. The Pasuk says, Ephes ki lo yeh v'cho evyoin, which means, may there be no destitute among you. And the Gemara Darshan's over there saying, Shelcho koidim l'cho odom. Your phone comes before everybody else's phone. So, Lamaisa, that is the way Tosfos paskins, that you have to give back your own, you have to give back, go and search for and work on getting your own phone back. And that, Lamaisa, is the way, Lachora, he paskins. Now, of course, we might ask ourselves the question, why was there a Havamina that he would even not have his father? Why would his father not be also excluded from the list? And the answer to that is, because since we saw that, and we discussed that a person has to even be willing to take off from work for the sake of supporting his father and experience a financial loss, so you might think that he even has to let his own Aveda slip away, and to that, Tosfos says, no, Kamash Malan, the Pasuk tells us, Ephes ki lo yech v'cho evyoin, shelcho koidim l'chol odom. Lamaisa, let's summarize if we can till here. What we see is that when it comes to the idea of menias hefsid, basically the prevention of a financial loss, like choosing to save your lost object versus your father's, so the maskana is, it seems, that the mitzvah of kibbutz av is going to be, you're going to be pater, you're exempted from that. But when it comes to menias revach, preventing yourself from making more money, like working and so on, for this, lamaisa, that does not exempt you from the mitzvah of kibbutz av ve'ein. Now, there is a very interesting Yerushalmi, which Tosfos in the Gemara and Kiddushin Lamed Aleph Amid Beis brings down, Dibur Masel Kaveid. Tosfos says, a big yisoy. He says in the name of the Yerushalmi as follows, Godol kibbutz av ve'ein mi kibbutz hamakom. He says that the mitzvah of kibbutz av ve'ein is even greater than fulfilling the mitzvah of being mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's the raya for it? The raya is, the pasuk by kibbutz hamakom, honoring Hashem, says, Kavedes Hashem mehoin lecho. You should honor Hashem from your assets, from your what you possess, from your possessions. But, lemaisa, we look in the pasuk, and of course you understand from that, that means obviously, if you have money, you have possessions, so you're obligated to honor Hashem and do the mitzvahs. But if you don't have the money to do the mitzvahs, so you will be exempt. There are only very unique cases, maybe dalit cases, etc. We have to even borrow, but you're exempt. However, by kibbutz av ve'ein, the pasuk says, kavedes avicha ve'es imecha, and no mention mehoncha, from your possessions whatsoever. Which means to say, as Tosfos concludes, v'tzorech lachzor achar apsochim. A person is even required to go door to door, if necessary, to do the mitzvah kibbutz av. Now, the question you would want to, which we need to understand is, according to whom is this Yerushalmi going, which says there's a bigger mitzvah to do Kibbutz Av V'Em than to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself? Who is this going like? So, Lamaisa, we find a different Tosfos on the next Amud in Kedushin, Lamaisa Lamed Beis, which says a very, very big Yisai. He explains Tosfos that if the father has no money and the son does have money, in that case, even the opinion of Kibbutz Av Mishel Av, that the obligation financially is upon the father who has to pay the expenses, the bill for Kibbutz Av, even if we say that, he would agree that the son has a responsibility to support his parents, but because of the mitzvah of tzedakah, a different reason. Now let's think for a minute, Rabbi Isai. When are we obligated in tzedakah? Only when we have funds to give. If you don't have funds to give tzedakah, you don't have to give. Nobody obligates a person to go out and collect money to distribute the money again. So to hear, so the opinion, which says, Kibbutz Av Mishel Av, which says that, and of course we're talking about a case where the father doesn't have the money to lay out for those expenses, Lahora, you should not need to go collecting, even door to door, to raise the funds needed for your parents. Because after all, it's only a chiyu mitzad mitzvah tzedakah alone. And tzedakah is when you have the funds, yes, and if not, no. So, it looks like the Yerushalmi, who says that you yes need to still go door to door to raise funds to help your parents, it sounds like this Yerushalmi is learning differently. It sounds that Kibbutz Av Mishel Ben, he seems to be paskening the Yerushalmi that the obligation is upon the son, and therefore that's why he even needs to go door to door if necessary. Now, Lemaisa, the only problem though is that Tosfos, he brings a proof from the Yerushalmi himself. Tosfos brings a proof from the Yerushalmi, this Tosfos which we said that you have an obligation mitzad tzedakah to support your parents when your parents don't have the money, and you then Lemaisa, that's very difficult because the Yerushalmi, obviously, if you're talking about a mitzvah of tzedakah, like Tosfos says, according to the opinion Kibbutz Av Mishel Av, then why would the son be required to go beyond his means to go door to door? So how do we make sense of it, Lemaisa? So I'll tell you, before I saw the Ritva on the Sugya, I wanted to say my own teretz, which says that perhaps the chiyuv of tzedakah by one's father is greater than any other chiyuv tzedakah for any other person. Because even to the extent that the son doesn't have what to feed his father, but nonetheless, it could be he needs to go out and find the money. He has to go find the money to support his parents. And that fits with the rule that we know, aniyei beisecha kodmim. The rule is that the chiyuv, when it comes to a hierarchy of prioritizing who we give our tzedakah to, we know that family come before strangers. And within the family, obviously a brother is closer than, let's say, you know, a cousin or something to that effect. So, lemaisa, the closer the relative is, so the bigger the chiyuv is. But, and of course I should just add, that tzedakah as well, we know is a mitzvah which is not just done with money. Tzedakah is also done with one's goof as well. So perhaps, maybe that could be an explanation why there's a chiyuv to actually go out physically and raise the funds if necessary to support and sustain one's parents. But lemaisa, whether you like my teretz or not, I think the Ritva says a much, much better teretz. And lemaisa, you'll enjoy what he says. The Ritva says, let's understand the whole discussion fundamentally in the Gemara of Kibbutz Av Mishel Ben or Mishel Av. Who is the chiyuv of Kibbutz Av, the expenses going on? The father or the son? So he explains that this whole machlekes in the Gemara is only talking about when the father actually has money to do the mitzvah. And the shaila is, do we say that the money of the son is meshubed for the mitzvah, it's obligated for the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, or not? But he explains the Ritva. When the father has no money to pay these expenses, then everyone, even the opinion that says Mishel Av, the obligation's on the father, he too would agree that the obligation moves over and there's no machlekes. Kibbutz Av Mishel Ben. So the Ritva continues and concludes as follows. If one's father tells him, please feed me, please give me food, I don't have what to eat, So the son is obligated, says the Ritva, to get him food any way he can, even if he has to go collecting door to door. And of course, the source for the Ritva, as you probably could guess, is that Yerushalmi, which Tosfos quoted before, saying the mitzvah is greater for Kibbud Av than it is for Lemaisa Kibbud Hamakom. So far we have Lemaisa Tosfos and the Ritva are learning from this Yerushalmi that one has to go even to the extent of going door to door to honor one's parents and to help feed them. But Lemaisa, they're quoting the Yerushalmi, and the first one who actually quotes the entire Lashon precisely that the Yerushalmi says is the Smag. And if we look in the Smag, we're going to see a very interesting surprise. The Smag's Lashon is as follows. He concludes, She'im ein locha klum, talking to the son, She'im ein locha klum, if you don't have the money yourself to do the mitzvah, Ata tzorach lidchein birichayim bishvilam. You need, you're required to even grind the millstone for their benefit. Tosfos learned from that the Maisa you even have to go collecting door to door. But you see, there's no mention in the language of this Yerushalmi whatsoever that you need to go and actually go door to door. It just says if your father asks you to go out and grind the millstone, to grind wheat, you have to go ahead and do it, Lemaisa. But no mention about going door to door whatsoever. So if we look and see some of the Mephorshim on the Smag, we'll see that they don't understand like that. They understand differently. The Smak, he understood, what does it mean, Atat Sorech Litchein Berichayim, you need to grind the millstone. He explains that means you need to hire yourself out as a worker to grind wheat in order to get them food. And also, it's basically means to say that anything you need to do, even if necessary going door to door, you're required to do. So he's learning consistently with the Tosfos. The Rush says Lemaisa a little bit differently. The Rush says what this Yerushalmi is saying is that a person has to honor one's parents begufay, physically, with his own physical being. And that means that even if he has to mevatel his malacha, he has to cancel his work and give up on work, and it's going to result in needing to go door to door as well, because he won't have money by doing that, he's obligated to do that too. So till now we have a nice lineup of Rishonim, all learning from the Yerushalmi, that one has to go so far. We have Tosfos, the Ritva, Smag, and Lemaisa the Rush. But Lemaisa, it's not so straightforward, because there is another Rishon who vehemently disagrees with this Yerushalmi. And that Rishon is the Rama. The Rama says explicitly, when a person, a son, does not have mizaynes, he doesn't have sustenance for himself, then nowhere in the Torah is he required to go collecting door to door, and not even to stop work, if that will bring him to have to go and collect from others. And you should know that Rabbeinu Yerucham learns this Rama is applying no matter what the financial situation is on. How desperate does he have to be? He doesn't give numbers. The Torah makes a bit of a compromise. The Torah says that if the son has the sustenance for one day, to live for one day, then Lemaisa, then he does need to go out and actually do all the necessary things to help support his parents. But if he doesn't, then he too agrees. That's what the Rama is saying to us, that Lemaisa, there's no chiyuv whatsoever. So who do we pass in like Rabbi Yisai? So you should know, the Bach points out that Lemaisa, even though he's inclined to paskin like this Rama and go against the Rishonim, he says he can't do it, but he brings down an interesting thing. He says, Lemaisa, he says a very, very fascinating ha'or. He says that we know the Yerushalmi is all based on the idea that the mitzvah of Kibbud Av is greater than the mitzvah of Kibbud Hamakom, because he learned out from the word mehoincha, which is a limitation by Kibbud Hamakom. Serving Hashem, honoring Hashem, it says only from your assets, from your wealth, which it doesn't say by the son. But the Bach explains that that is the Yerushalmi. The Talmud Bavli, which we paskin like, actually is only making an equation, a gezeira shava, between the two inyanim, Kibbud Av and Kibbud Hamakom, because the word kaved is written twice. But they're equal in level, which means to say that the Bach understands that just like if you don't have the funds, You're not obligated to go and do mitzvahs when you don't have the money to do the mitzvahs, which require money. So do kibbutz as well. But the Bach, nonetheless, did not want to paskin like the remark because there are many Rishonim that argue. However, the Gra adds another fascinating insight, Lamaisa. The Gra said that the Yerushalmi, which Tosfos is bringing, you should know, even though he quotes the Yerushalmi, says the Gra that this Yerushalmi is paskining like the Manda Amra that says, Kibura ve'aim mishel ben. He's paskining that the whole obligation, the brunt of Kibura ve'aim, lies upon the son. And for that reason, the Tosfos requires, l'fi that Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi, that one even has to go door to door. But the Talmud Bavli, we paskin halacha in the Gemara, that the mitzvah of kibud ave'im is incumbent upon the father. That the financial obligation goes according to the father. And with that said and done, the Gra actually paskins halacha lemaisa like the Ra'or that we mentioned. And he says that a son who does not have the funds to live, who does not have the money to do the mitzvah of kibud ave'im, a son would be exempt from doing the mitzvah, never need to go, chas v'shalom, collecting door to door. And Lamaisa, of course, we should understand, though, that we see, nonetheless, that the whole Yerushalmi is talking about the extreme, says the Gra, and this is an important nakuda. He's talking about to the extent that does a person, a son, need to go out and actually go collect door to door to support his father. But in regards to being mevatel malacha, where possible, the Talmud Bavli is already coming out and saying a person does have to take off from work to do the mitzvah of kibud av. And lemaisa, if we think about it in today's world, Rabbi Isai, where most people do have vacation days, they have personal days from their jobs, so then they luchora, if necessary, if their father needs help, whether it's going out and taking care of feeding them, bringing them in, taking them out, could be taking them to doctors, etc. So there is a huge, huge mitzvah and a chiyuv to go ahead and to even take off time. Of course, we understand that this is all said and done, provided that the son's job, his career, is not at risk. Because if there's a serious chance that person takes off too many days in a row or has an employer which won't be happy with that and he's going to be having no money for himself, so then obviously we get to the stage where he's going to be having perhaps a situation where he himself will need to actually go and rely on public support as well. And in that instance, we have a big machlekes between the Gra and the Tor Shulchan Aruch, which the Gra, as we mentioned, passes, you do not need to go to that extent and to suffer such a big financial loss. Yet the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch do paskin that one would even be required, and one would have, lo aleinu, a shayla halacha lemaisa to that extent. Obviously, in asking the shayla, we shouldn't forget, there's an inyan of shaliach. One need not always personally take on to do the mitzvah of going out and taking care of his parents. One can have sometimes close friends, other relatives, etc. And of course, there's one's own family as well. Hayecha koymin, one's wife, one's children. There's a lot of sensitivity has to be used in those who would paskin the shayla. We should never have to come to that situation. Now, you should know the mitzvah of kibud av ve'aim, just to conclude, is a very huge mitzvah. To the extent that the Sefer Chassidim brings down that in the event where lo aleinu, a person who loses his father, he actually is... it's recommended and he's suggested for him to go and find, if you will, a surrogate father. To adopt another father, a person who he's going to honor like his own father. Because we understand that the mitzvah, the purpose is not for the receiver. The purpose of kibud av, as we know them before, should bring down, is not the recipient. The father gets the kavod which is coming to him. How much did he invest in that child? Now it's time to pay back. That's not the Jewish way of looking at it. Kibud av ve'aim is a mitzvah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that we should instill in ourselves the midah of being mechabdim, being able to give kavod. Because if you don't know how to give kavod, then you'll have a difficult time giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, which is what one of the main things we're in this world to do. And the Chazal speak to at length about all the tremendous reward and bracha which comes to a person, arichas yomim, etc., etc., for those who do kibbutz. And I'd like to bring down a story which I actually heard from one of my staff members, Rabbi Binyamin Hollander, who actually knows the person who the story took place with and heard it directly from his mouth. And I'm going to share with you a beautiful story. There's a certain Avreich, a young man in Yerushalayim, who, very fine young person, who unfortunately experienced a very unpleasant divorce, and he lives by himself, Lamaisa, and he has parents living in Yerushalayim as well. And he happens to have a car, and every so often his parents ask him to help out and do favors. So one day, his father asked him, "Do you mind going with me tonight to visit my sister up in Akko?" Akko is a town, for those who don't know, not too far from Haifa. And he said, okay, sure. He wasn't so enthusiastic to have to cancel the chavrus and drive all the way up there. He'll go to sleep late. But kibbutz, what don't we do for kibbutz? So he said, with pleasure, more than happy. So they go up to Akko. They're visiting his aunt and his father's sister there. And he parks the car. And when he comes out of the house of his aunt and he's walking back to the car, he sees there's a policeman writing him a ticket. So he runs over to the policeman. He says, "Excuse me, why are you giving me a ticket? What's wrong?" So he said, "You're parked illegally." He says, "What do you mean? This is a parking spot." He says, "Don't you see that line over there?" The cop says to him, "You're jutting out from the line about 2 feet, 1.5 feet maybe. You're jutting out, the front of your car." So the Avreich thinks to himself, I'll try, maybe try my luck. So he says, "But if you look at the car, you see the majority of the car, Rubai, is sitting in the permitted space. Rubai Kekulai, we say in the Torah." So this non-religious police officer, he had a bit of a lumpish cup. And he said back to him, "Yeah, but let me ask you a question. If we were to chop off the piece of the car which is jutting out beyond the line, would your car go anywhere?" That's a chatik ha'ruil iskabit. It ain't a bottle, you see. So it's a very, so the cop had a good answer for him. In the end of the day, he didn't have much to say. And he got a ticket. The cop gave him a ticket, and it was a hefty ticket of about 500 or 600 shekels. Lamaisa, he's driving home, and he's saying, "I can't believe it. Here I go out of my way. I cancel the whole evening. Kibbutz, the mitzvah of kibbutz. What happened? How could Hashem do this?" He was so distressed by it. And he came home, and he paid the ticket, obviously. And for days, and he was troubled by it for almost a week. And then, a week later, he gets a letter from the court that he has been summoned to come to the court because his ex-wife claims that one evening last week he came to the house and he harassed her and he caused undue harassment to the wife and to the children, and he's being summoned to court because he wasn't allowed to come. So he takes a look at the letter. He says, "Oh, I can't believe it. Tzoras upon tzoras, what's going on? And all this started when I did the mitzvah kibbutz." And he looks at the letter carefully. He says, "Oh, one second. The date that I was that she claimed that I came and harassed was that Tuesday night. Tuesday night, I was in Akko Tuesday night that night. What? I have a proof that I wasn't even at the house. I was out of town in another city at that time." So he takes the ticket, which he had paid, the receipt, and he goes down to court, and he shows the judge. The judge looks at it, and he says, "You know what?" He says, I see, you have a good proof. Your car was in Akko that night. Maybe you lent it to a friend. How do I know you personally were there?" So the judge says, "You know what we'll do? I see the name of the officer and his identification number. Let's call the officer from Akko to come down. If he recognizes you, then Lamaisa, you're in good shape. You're off the hook and your wife's in trouble. And if not, you're paying." So they call the officer the next day. He comes down and he looks at the Jew, and the officer says to the cop, he says, "Tell me, do you know this man? Do you recognize this man? Did you give him a ticket?" He looks at the man and he smiles, "Rubai Kekulai." "Sure, I know him. That's my friend right there." And lo and behold, because the wife and her lawyer tried to make a scandal and a scheme to get him in trouble, they were severely fined, a fine of 300,000 shekels, which came to this young man. He received the money, and Rabbi Hollander even saw the check which came. Wow. So Lamaisa, When we have questions or doubts, does it pay to do the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em? We can remember this story and show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches out for us. Even when it seems He may not be, we have to trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us. And may we all be zeichah to fulfill the mitzvah, the Hidurah, and be zeichah to be wonderful children, not only to our parents, but also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much.